As I said this morning, we're going to teach tonight on fasting. I know some Sunday nights I preach and sometimes I teach. Well, tonight, I always say I'm going to end up teaching, preaching, preaching. Call it what you want. We're going to talk about fasting tonight. And we're going to do our best to kind of go over some things that I find is necessary to deal with. How many knows fasting is important? How many would say we could do more of it? I think our amen could have been louder on that one. Amen. We could do more of it, couldn't we? I think all of us could say we've been at times. I hope you do fast and I hope you fasted before. Amen. If not, this is the key, one of the great keys, I believe, and to be in Pentecost, what we call living a law and a life of power. Amen. In the power, in the presence of God, I believe fasting is thoroughly important. Amen. And I've recognized its principles years ago. Not always saying I've practiced it like I should, but I know it works. Amen. I could tell a difference when I do it more and when I don't do it more. And I'm telling you, I tell people who are skeptical and are doubters, I say, I encourage you, grab your Bible, set yourself in with God, pray and fast. He'll make you a believer. Amen. He'll show up. You deny this old flesh. I've told people that, gave them that counsel years ago. If you're wrestling with something, I remember Brother Kenny Morris gave very sound advice one time to a man. The guy was wrestling with smoking cigarettes, had committed his life to the Lord, had prayed in the altars, was fighting with those cigarettes, and was trying to pray. And Kenny Morris said, I encourage you. He said, You promised me, Kenny Morris was talking to a man. He said, if I give you something to do, will you do it? Sure. He said, every time you smoke a cigarette, fast a day. Man didn't get past two cigarettes. He realized you can say no to the flesh. Amen. You can do it and God will help you. So I encourage you, fasting is real and true. If you would go to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we will do this on Wednesday nights. I know there's some in the back, but those of you who are new, on Wednesday nights when the floor is open, if you do have an important question or something that needs to be clear, you are welcome to do that tonight. I'm opening the floor up. Amen. I'm not saying preach your own message or anything. We're going to talk about fasting. We're not going to the book of Revelations or nothing. So let's try to keep on topic. Amen. We're going to talk about fasting. You're welcome to ask questions. I encourage that. Please be a part of this if you feel like there's something you want to clarify. And I may even ask you a question. Amen. There's one part in here that I've been studying here recently, trying to figure out a few things myself. So, book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And we're going to read three verses there. And looking forward to what God has in store in this teaching, amen, tonight. Matthew 6 and 16, we're going to read through verse 18. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Saying, look, I don't want you to fast like the hypocrites and disfigure your faces. Don't walk around and be like, oh, I'm fasting. You know, that old Ebenezer Scrooge look, whatever it is. Just don't do it. Don't go around. It's nothing to brag about. But he doesn't tell us that we can't talk about it. Amen. I remember for some reason, I don't know why I had that mentality, and maybe you've recognized it before, where somebody, when they're fasting, they're like, nobody can find out or it don't count. You know, I used to be that way at work. I'm like, man, I'm telling you, it got to a place at work that they offer you donuts so much, you got to say, look, I'm fasting. Now, I'm not trying to brag, but leave me alone. It's pretty much the idea. I've said no enough. I mean, they put donuts on your desk before you know it, man. Why won't you eat? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And you have to tell. I said, look, I'm not trying to brag. Come here. I'm trying to abstain with some food. What does that mean? I've had sinners and people that have a clue. What are you talking about fasting? So I want you to understand that a fasting is a very important spiritual principle. But we find that sometimes within the church, you seldom hear it mentioned or taught on in detail. And I'm sure Brother Glenn has over the years taught on it. But the thing is, a lot of times people don't want to mention it because people are afraid to mention it lest they miss their blessing. But we are going to talk about it tonight. You're not going to be robbed of your blessing for talking about it. It's in the Bible. Jesus never said that we could not discuss fasting, but he warned of the hypocritical spirit when you do fast. That's what he's talking about there. That hypocritical spirit. The Bible records instances where men mentioned that they fasted. Daniel mentioned that he fasted. How do you know he wrote about it? Amen. Ezra mentioned that he fasted. Moses mentioned that he fasted. How do you know? They wrote about it. They penned it there in words. Now, if I come in here today and wrote you a book about Derek Jones fasting, I hope you see what I'm saying? These men wrote about it. They wanted us to know about it, and God wanted us to know about it. So note number two is this. Fasting is a very popular thing in the world. How many of you know that other religions fast frequently, and it would almost make you ashamed when you look into Islam how dedicated they are to fasting? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I read about Osama bin Laden. I mean, he was a man that would fast for days and would sit in front of the TV and would cry for Islam and about the state of Islam in the world. He did that for a pagan religion. How much more should we do it for the living God? Amen. Buddhists also will do it. Hindus would fast. They'll fast 40 days. I mean, they'll go on these rapid, these fast. Some of them fast in so many things, but it's all in vain. We do understand that. Some fast for dieting. You ever heard somebody say, well, I'm not going to eat today? Nothing spiritual. Just trying to lose weight. How many knows the doctors will tell you to fast? You know, you can kind of take that. Somebody says, oh, well, I'm fasting. What? Well, the doctor told me to. Well, that's because there's a procedure or something that he has to do, and that's why he wants you to fast. But I want you to understand, when it comes to the Bible, fasting in the Bible has progressed in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. There is a difference when you read about it. In the Old Testament, and then in the books in the Old Testament, fasting is a means of humbling oneself before God. The motive for such humbling may include confession, repentance, or petition, and the acts of being absent from all these other things, being submissive. Often people tear their clothes, dress in sackcloth and ashes, and as they would fast. Now, we don't have to do that anymore. I mean, you ain't got to come into church or walk around if you're fasting with torn garments, ashes on top of your head. Somebody's going to think you're plumb crazy if you do that. Brother Timmy Edwards used to pass, and many of you know him, some of you don't. He pastored a church or worked up in the mountains in a church, and he said he knew a man that would wear burlap when he fasted. I said, well, what is the point of that? That's really some Old Testament theology in that. In the New Testament, sackcloth and ashes do not specifically accompany fasting at all. In the New Testament, fasting seems to be not limited to suffering or danger, which it can be tied to that. Instead, it is a regular practice of John and his disciples and the Pharisees. It's an act of worshiping, and fasting seems to be more common conjoined practices for the church. You read about it in Antioch, and my friend, as you read about specifically in the New Testament, it is to be something habitual and something practiced in the life of the believer, and that is what we read about in the New Testament. So you do see a shift from the old to the new as the language that is used about it. You are a part of that New Testament church, and we still believe in fasting. Now, John MacArthur made this comment. I know I mention him a lot because he's so anti-Pentecostal that I read about him to understand more about us. How many knows reading about people that are against you sometimes will help you understand yourself better? I read about stuff I didn't know was out there before. Well, John MacArthur says this, fasting is never shown in Scripture to be the means to heighten spiritual experience, visions, or special insight or awareness, as many mystics, including some Christian mystics, claim. Fasting is appropriate in this age because Christ is physically absent from the earth. I do agree with that to a certain extent. But as a Pentecostal, and as one that has experienced this myself, I do believe that you can fast and draw nigh to God, and His voice becomes more aware to you, and you can get direction through fasting and prayer. I believe that 100%, and have seen it to be a spiritual truth in my own life. We believe, as Pentecostals, we believe that fasting can help sharpen your spiritual walk. When you set aside things, come to the Lord, push apart everything else, I do believe God's voice can be more clearer. You can have a clear direction. Doesn't mean that always is the will of God, but it does mean this. As you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh unto you. Now, as reading this today, we must understand what is fasting. We must define it as we move forward here. The definition for fasting, very simply, fasting is the practice of true Christian abstaining or coming aside from food for a set purpose and a set period of time in order to pray as an act of faith unto the Heavenly Father. That's basically what the basic definition is. There are different forms of that, and I will say this before we move any further. You really realize that even nowadays that we have to condense fasting to just turning the TV off. And that's a shame. Brother Greg Roberts said he went to a church and was preaching a revival. And they said, we've been fasting all week. He said, what do you mean? We hadn't played no video games or watched no movies. That's good to do that. I hope you do that anyhow at times. Look, it's all right to come away from the TV and pray. But we do not need to make that seem like that's the biblical definition of fasting. When we talk about fasting, the Bible is talking about food, all right? Now, please do that. Please come away from that from the TV. Please, it's good to turn it off. It's good to pray. I did not condemn that. I actually approve of that. It's good. Come away from technology. In the age of technology, you better step away from it. Occasionally, you better not let it have that much grip on you. Turn the phone off if you got to. I've often mentioned this. When I first got saved, I turned that phone off for 3 days. That was tough. Went to work 3 days without a cell phone. And you know what? The world stayed going. You'd be surprised. My mom and daddy ate their food. What'd they do before cell phones? I actually lived that long, believe it or not. I remember when they want one. What I'm saying is this. It's good to come away from technology, but fasting in the Scripture is talking about food and abstaining and being partial and being careful what you do there. So fast from food is what's called that biblical definition. Now, isn't it amazing that fasting is important as well? Because fast from food is the very thing. We look in the Bible, food is the very thing which caused humanity to fall, or the temptation in which humanity did fall. And my friends, if we look at this today, who said that we should fast? Number one, first we all need to remember that the Holy Ghost, who wrote the Bible through chosen men, this truth of fasting is clearly written and taught throughout the Bible, and the Holy Spirit has not changed through the mouth of the Old Testament prophets. The Father called His people to Israel to fast. Jesus mentioned fasting. So number one, the Bible says we should fast, and if there's no other reason, that's good enough. And number two, in the New Testament, Jesus took it for granted that His disciples would fast. He said this, "When ye fast." You hear that? Not if you do, or if you decide, or if you vote on it, or if you convince yourself, but when you fast, do not do it as the hypocrites do. So notice this, not if you fast, but when you fast. And again, He said, "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days." We are still in those days. We are living in the days of the absent bridegroom physically. We are still in the time where we should, and we need to fast in the day that we should live in. When should we fast? There are four specific times that we find, that I find in history and studying, when we should fast. Number one today is Spirit-led fasting. The Holy Ghost, I believe if you're living a healthy walk with God, He's going to lead you to fast. Now, I'm not telling you how many days, not telling you when, but there's many a time the Holy Ghost is going to deal with you in that prayer closet and says, "Look, you need to give me a day. You need to give me 2 days. You need to give me 3 days." And somebody is like, "Please stop, brother. Give me 4. You need to give me 5. Give me 10. That sweet Holy Ghost will lead you to fasting. He will. He'll call you deeper into that. He'll pray. When you're praying, I remember several times, and Lord, help me do more now. God, I often get frustrated with self sometimes. Wondering, I said, "Man, I wish I had the same, you know, back before. I love my wife, love my children. Wouldn't change nothing." But it was different when single man just going here and there. I mean, you had all the time. You didn't have nothing to do at night, so to speak. You could just pray and fast. Amen. I remember several times on a Sunday night, I'd had that sweet Holy Ghost lead me into a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday fast, stuff along those lines. And I knew was the Holy Ghost, and I knew that He led me. So we need to be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost. Man, I wish we'd had that sweet Holy Ghost sensitivity. When He wants you to move, you move. When He don't want you to eat, you don't eat. When He wants you to walk, you walk. When He tells you to stop, you stop. When He tells you to clap your hands, you clap your hands. If He tells you to run the aisle, run the aisle. It's Holy Ghost sensitivity. I didn't say being sensitive to your neighbor. Holy Ghost sensitivity. He will lead you into fasting. It was the Holy Ghost who led Christ in the wilderness to fast for 40 days. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Not only should we have Spirit-led fasting, number one. Number two, a healthy spiritual lifestyle of fasting. This is a regular discipline of fasting. A set day each week, or at least some point during each month, should be set aside for such. This is done with a desire to follow after God and not a response to a special feeling or need. It's an act. It's a discipline. You're doing it because you know you want to draw closer to God, and it's a practice in your life. And I believe, and I hope every one of you, help us all to do that more frequently, to have that special time you set aside with God and you fast. Number three, how many know this is important when there's an emergency to fast? We read many times we may receive news of an accident or illness or difficulty in a loved one's life. This is not pre-planned, but the emergency drives us to fast and pray for this sudden need. I've heard of men whose children were going through something, and I've heard of men make such a bold statement, and it's actually, I've read about and witnessed at a time where they had worked, where they said, I will not eat a bit of food until I have an answer from God. You have that mentality and you'd be surprised God will talk to you. Because you find out the whole time He's been talking to you. But you're so full of yourself, you're so busy, you hadn't heard Him. God's always speaking. Sometimes we're begging God and trying to knock up, God, speak to me, Lord. Please, Lord. And I've watched folks beating their heads on altars. God, tell me. And I'm like, pray, son. Open your ears. Set aside the plate. God is talking to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. He's talking to us, church. And plus, don't always wait for God to speak to you something about the Bible. Already said it. He ain't going to tell you to flee fornication. He's already done it. He ain't going to tell you if it's all right to leave your wife. No, He's already told you. Try to stay with her. Make it work. If all means, make it work. So an emergency. Esther did this. When they were in a time where the Jewish people could have been annihilated. She called the people to fast because of emergency. Number four, when a godly church leader calls a fast. There are times when we fast alone and privately, but there's also times to join together with other believers in fasting. It was normal, very normal in the Old Testament that God would use a godly man or woman to call His people to fast. The church at Antioch, under the leadership of Barnabas and Paul and others, united together in prayer and fasting. So there may be times that God deals with my heart or God deals with another leader's heart and says, look, we need to go on a fast, and I have the authority and can stand up here and say, look, God's dealt with us, church. We need to fast about this. You can do that. It's in the Bible. It is there. We also must understand how do we fast. Not only when we fast, but how do we fast. The normal practice of fasting would involve abstaining from food. For example, if it's say for a full day or for a season there, and I want you to get this, there is no specific biblical patterning to the length of fasting. God never says in the Bible, ye must fast one day, or ye must fast 40. No, He tells us to fast. That's what He tells us. He doesn't give us a length or a time. He tells us specifically just to fast. Now, a full day, this would start, however it is, if you start at 9 in the morning, you know what a full day fast is. It can be several days. You could fast meals. Have you ever fasted a meal before? Ever heard of that? Let me put it this way. If you hadn't fasted in a long time, it's almost where you have to start. If you can't say no to breakfast, it's tough to say no to breakfast, lunch, dinner for the next 3 days. Start disciplining yourself. Start exercising it in your life. And you'll find it can be fasting a day, fasting meals. But I also encourage people this, when I put this lesson together about fasting before, understand this, it is important, unless otherwise led, not to fast from water for a long period of time. What I mean by that is this, a normal fast will be abstinence from fruit, food, but not water. It is important to drink water during a fast. I know you can go a day without water. I know you maybe can go 2 days without water. But I know, and I've read behind men who have fasted, and unless God is leading you, hear me, unless God is leading you, you need to drink water for this body. Now, we'll talk about later on in the Bible, there are some men who fasted water at that time, but it was supernatural. But I've talked to two men of God, and one member, the James Reynolds, who is no longer on this earth, who's in heaven, he fasted one time for several days. I want to say for a few weeks without water. And he said physically he answered so bad for it. There was a lot of things physically that happened to him. And he said as he prayed about it, God began to deal with him and said, look, you need to be more careful. You need to use some wisdom in this. Talk to another man who went 8 days without drinking water. He stepped out of the shower one day and passed out flat on his back. And his wife almost had to call 911. So we have to have wisdom in this. I know you can go a day without water. It's all right. If you choose to do that, God, I believe God honors that. But hear me, unless God's leading you, don't just go do something crazy because God has given us wisdom as well. You're made of a lot of water, believe it or not. We are. I ain't a doctor, but I've read about that before. And they said we need to drink it. Now also, not only can we fast meals and fast a full day, not only is it important to stay hydrated, but also this is very, very important. When you fast, you need to be able to do it prayerfully. What I mean by that is this. Also, it is important to have time set aside to be alone with God in prayer and reading. There is no point, hear me, don't choose the busiest day of your life to fast if you can help it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd say, look, I'll fast, but I knew it was so busy. I said, this day will just fly by. I understand you work, and there's times you're going to fast and you're going to have to work. But at lunchtime, try to read your Bible. Pray. You see what I'm saying? So we ought to try to make time prayerfully. We should fast. We should read that Word. And that is so important. Now, we can read there in Nehemiah how they fasted and they read the Word. Now, the important thing is this. We must understand as well. What happens when we do fast? Now, we've got to draw these conclusions or these important principles. We are causing the natural body with its natural human desires to be submitted to the spiritual man within us, the new creation. Now, let me ask you a question. How many knows eating is natural? It just comes to me. Does it ever come to you? You ever had a hunger pain? You know, I'm starving to death, and you know you're not. You can make it. But when we do fast, now this is so important because we've got to understand it's natural for us to eat. You are telling that natural desire, which is good, inherently good. Telling that natural desire, telling your natural part of your body, look, no, I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to take that and sacrificially, I'm going to give it to the Lord. Hear that, sacrificially. Now, I've met people before, they say, well, I can fast a meal, don't bother me. That's a fast two then. Well, I can fast two meals, fast three. Fast until it's sacrificial. If you're just doing something, just normal routine, it's nothing. But fast until you know it's real. I ain't saying you got to fast until you kill yourself. I'm saying, but fast and know that you're actually coming apart and setting something apart for God, and there's something special between you and the Lord. Fasting puts down that old man. Praying lifts up the new. It is an act of self-discipline. And we know that self-control or temperance is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. It is a sign that He dwells within you. It is just one small way of keeping the body and bringing it under subjection. I'm telling you, if you allow this old body, it's very opinionated. Your body's very opinionated. Let me put it that way. It'll try to dictate what you do during the day. I'm not saying simple things. It will tell you it's time to eat. Tell them, no, it's not. No, that means that it's wrong to have hunger pains. Follow what I'm saying here. But it's all right to tell your body no. I hope you're able to tell your body no in a lot of things. But when it comes to food, you better tell your body no sometimes because it can get you into trouble. Keeping it under subjection, bringing it under subjection. Paul lived this throughout his ministry. It involves a humbling of the soul, self-denial, or denial of self, but taking up that cross and following Christ. It is an act of true discipleship and is always Godward and never manward. You do not fast to be seen. You do not fast just for some random reason manward. It is just a token of the fruit of salvation. It shows that the grace of God is working in your heart. I believe that fasting is so tied to your walk with God that you must do it. Now, I ain't saying it saves you, but I believe it helps you be what you need to be and walk as you should walk before the eyes of a thrice holy God. Now, it's important to understand this as well. When it comes to prayer and fasting, we have a lot of different examples in the Bible. Have you ever heard of a partial fast? Well, you're not fasting all food, but you're fasting some food. Me challenge you. You'd be surprised. When I say you're surprised, I know you know these things. You're very smart folks. But you know how much we are accustomed to eating a certain way? You ever heard of the Daniel fast? I used to pick on it. Now I admire it. The reason I picked on it is all the mega churches did it. But I read into it. I said, that's tough. You try to eat apples for 21 days. You'll begin to loathe apples. And bananas. And noodles. And just about everything else. You'd be surprised. When we were in Africa, I had rice and beans. But boy, I was putting down Coca-Cola like crazy. I missed the taste of America. Man, at first we get off the plane, take me to Cracker Barrel and get me breakfast. You know how much you like cheeseburgers? Try not eating one for a year. Now for some of you, it wouldn't bother. Find something that you really like. You will crave it eventually. So what a partial fast is. We know that Daniel fasted and prayed. He said this. He said, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting. And we'll move more to the other types of fasting in a minute. Fasting also, we know, complements prayer. I'm telling you, when you pray when you're fasting, It is something special that is there. You know that you're telling yourself no. You know that you're 100% yes at that moment. And it's a precious time of prayer. Fasting by itself is a very special thing. It's not a special benefit, but we should add fasting to prayer and reading, as I've already said. Pray instead of eat is a special thing. When you pray instead of eat, it's something very special. Now also understand this. Fasting and prayer attacks unbelief. Now I know we're believers. I know that. But we want to see Mark chapter 16 more in fulfillment in our church. These signs follow those that what? Believe. Now we don't see the signs frequently. So we can blame it on God if you want. I ain't going there. You want to point the finger at the Holy Ghost? When you and the sweet Holy Ghost. But I realize that we at times, you can call it what you want. We have this neglect almost. Where we need to have a greater faith. And the Bible calls it something. It don't sugarcoat it. It calls it unbelief. Jesus told that to His disciples. Now, unless you're ready to die upside down like Peter, getting cut in half and shot through like some of the other disciples, He said they had unbelief. And none of that's happened to us yet. We look at this. I want you to get this. It is important. The Bible lets us know this: that fasting, that prayer added to fasting. We read in Matthew 17 and 20, talking about when this young boy, they were trying to cast the demons out. They said, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I verily say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Not playing and feasting. Prayer and fasting. Isn't that important? So we look at this and must understand what types of fast are there. I've already mentioned very vaguely already. Partial fast. Daniel and his three young friends ate only vegetables and drank water for 10 days. This was a partial fast and not a total fast. You also understand there that some years later we are told that Daniel went out on another partial fast. And this is where I have a question. And maybe you can answer it. Like it's open and I don't mind telling you. Daniel chapter 10. Go there with me. And I know some of you, I've read about 20 commentaries, so I don't know if you'll tell me anything new. Maybe you can. But about 10 of them say this, and 10 of them say another thing. Daniel chapter 10. Now we know that in the beginning of their ministry, or when I say ministry, they're in Babylon. We know that they abstained from the king's meat. We know that. But Daniel chapter 10, verses 2, I believe it is. It says this, or somebody read verses 2 and 3 for me. Now, my question is this. The Daniel fast here, is this a total fast or a partial fast? Now, you can answer that. I don't know what you've been told or what you read. Some believe it is 21 days of a total fast, nothing. Others believe it's 21 days of a partial fast. And the reason people believe it's a partial fast, and I know we're kind of chasing a rabbit here, but I have a question. Maybe you can answer it. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all 3 whole weeks that were fulfilled. So notice this here. We can talk afterwards if you don't. Maybe you have a different opinion. If he fasted completely or partially here, he had a breakthrough. Let's put it that way. He heard from heaven, God spoke to him, and he was able to see and understand that there was a spiritual battle that was going on that he could not see through from Michael against the prince of Persia, which was a demonic force, I believe it was. Here was a spiritual warfare, and here it is, he's fasting, he's praying, and the answer's hesitant to come, and here it gets him 21 days. Now, if it's partial or not, I've read 20 commentaries, so to speak. Pretty much. Half of them say it was partial. The other half it wasn't. He prayed through. Can we agree on that? All right. So we look at this. Let's move forward on this. We have to understand a few other things. John the Baptist fasted. His disciples fasted. And notice this, that we are not to set guidelines on consumptions. We're not like the Jews who says, look, you can't eat pork or you can't do that. But we do know this fasting is basically coming away from food and a partial fast. Now, a complete fast is what I would call it. This is a fast of abstaining from all food, but a continuing to drink water. This is what we would call a normal fast. Now, normal, this is considered normal or typical fast, whether it lasts 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 40 days. Throughout the Bible, this is what's meant when you look at the word fasting. The most frequent length is either a day or unspecified length of time. In other words, they fasted until they received an answer. Wouldn't that be amazing? Fasting until you get an answer. I wonder how much God would show us if we entered into a fast, and God help us all. Now I'm saying all of us are here together. We're growing the Lord together. If we said, Lord, I want you to answer me on something, and I'm going to fast until you show me. What if God showed you in one day? What if He made you wait 10? Daniel waited 21 days. Is that not amazing? 21 days prayerfully fasting, partially or not, to get an answer from God. Now, with this said, we must understand that we have some wisdom in this. During a fast from food, the water, I read this statistically, this is amazing. During a fast from food, the water is said to purify the whole physical system of the body in a period of 3 days. So fasting is also a healthy thing and not an unhealthy thing. They said, now Brother James Reynolds, who wrote and I had the article somewhere, it's very good. He was talking about fasting. And he experimented, he had done several 40-day fasts. I think one day at one point he'd do like one a year. So I think he knew what he was talking about a little bit, you know. And so I didn't mind reading behind him because I think that would blow a lot of us out of the water, his consistent fasting and prayer life. And he said this, that he noticed this, that after 3 days the headaches go away. You ever fasted and had a headache? Let me tell you why. Caffeine. We like it. And your body's used to it. Oh, sweet sugar. Your body likes that sugar. After 7 days, it is said, if I'm not mistaken when I read about that, he said after 7 or 8 days, he said actually a lot of your physical hunger starts to go away. He said, you do have times where, he said, it's more emotional then. He said, then your emotional addiction is being attacked. He said, your physical body actually gets to a place with drinking water that it has purified itself. He said, you'll be surprised 8, 9, and 10 days into a fast. He said, you're thinking so sharply. He said, he remembers, he said, 3 or 4 days having headaches. And then about the eighth day, he goes to work and everybody says, man, you're full of energy. He said, your body will naturally actually heal itself from some things in a good long fast. So fasting is healthy. Drinking that water does purify and get the toxins out of our body. And especially, you know, not only healthy physically, but you know, spiritually, it does a whole lot for you. But then we're going to look at this, a water fast. And I've already mentioned this, but you can read about Esther and Mordecai there. You can read about Ezra in Ezra 10 and 6. The king of Nineveh called during the time he was about to be judged. The king of Nineveh called for this kind of fast for the city when God was about to judge them. He said, look, come away from food and from water. So there is a fast where you fast from food and water. Now notice this, I would not suggest this once again, such a fast, unless God gives you some clear direction. Now, I believe you can go a day if you feel like it. But I remember, I think Brother Powers said one time in his younger days, he fasted 2 weeks without water. He said he didn't know no better. He said, no, it wasn't Brother Keith, excuse me. I just made him look better. Sister Kristen said, man, my pastor's got it. Amen. No, he fasted 2 weeks and broke his fast with a double whopper. He said he didn't know no better. He said, got sick as a dog. He said, 2 weeks no food. He said, go to Burger King, get a double whopper. He said, man, got sick as a dog. Because his body just won't used to it. It was another preacher that I read about that he had fasted for like 2 weeks with no water. He said, he didn't know no better, but God protected him. We also must understand as well that what I call, I think this is very important as well, and these are the most interesting. You ever heard of a supernatural fast? Where these men fasted and it had to be God that kept them alive? That's precious. We read about Moses. We are told that Moses fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. But then we read again that he fasted, and what I see in Scripture, he fasted a total of 80 days without food or water. It had to be God. Amen? I mean, his diet was the God of heaven. I'm telling you one thing. What kept him alive? Without food or without water? You can read that in Scripture. The other 40-day fast without food or water, what was Elijah? Not even Christ performed this, from what we understand. This is not something to be sought or tempted. It is a sovereign act of God. And I do believe God can sustain you supernaturally. You'll find out that Elijah, the angel woke him up underneath a juniper tree. He had a basin of water. He had some cake that was cooking on the coals. And he said he went on that strength for 40 days and 40 nights. That was God that did that. Now, do I still believe God can do that? Yes. I believe if God, if one of you get thrown into a prison, or one of you has to make a flight from the enemy, and you're out there and God, and something's taking place in your life, and you don't have access to these things, I believe God supernaturally can sustain His people. I believe that. God can sustain. If not, He'll make water come out the rock. Or He'll call the manna to come down from heaven. Or He'll smote a multitude of quail and you'll have something to eat. If God desires to do that. But if God desires for you to eat, and I mean for you not to eat and to live, God can do that. I think that's something we must understand. These are supernatural. And we could go on to talk about different things, but now we're going to look at the purpose or the reason for fasting. Number one, for repentance and mercy. The wicked King Ahab in 1 Kings 21:27, this is what it says. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishmite saying, seest thou how Ahab had humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. It was a fast of repentance. We also understand with Nineveh, we already talked about that. But this is important right here. I want you to focus and get this in right here. I believe you can fast for victory over the enemy. Now, I want you to understand, you do have victory over the enemy. But there's something about fasting when you're looking for victory. I believe God comes by and blesses you in a special way. Again, many times when Israel was under attack by the enemy or about to attack the enemy, they sought God in prayer and fasting and went out to win great victories. When the disciples could not cast out the demon out of the lunatic boy, Jesus said these types come out by prayer and by fasting. It's a sense of victory there. Now also understand this. I was studying this a little bit. How some of the new versions of the Bible even take fasting out of some of those sections. Not saying all of them. But what I'm saying is this. You can't take it out. You can't get around it. Fasting is important for victory. For repentance, whatever it is, fasting is thoroughly important. Another important part is this. Ministry unto the Lord. We read in the Bible, you remember when it come time for Jesus, after He was born, 8 days later, He went to the temple. Everybody remember the story? Wasn't it Simeon who came and blessed Him and all those things? But there was a woman by the name of Anna who departed not from the temple, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now at the church in Antioch, when you look in the book of Acts, we are told that the believers were gathered together in a service with one goal, that of ministering unto the Lord, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Wouldn't that be amazing if we fasted as a worshipful act? As ministering unto the Lord? We look at this as well. We understand that it's important that there should be a season when we come aside to seek God and fasting, and not in order just to try to get something from heaven. But God, I'm fasting because You're God. And Jesus, I'm fasting because You're Jesus. And I know You've been faithful, and I want to worship You. And I want You to, I want to give You this meal or this day. We also understand for personal needs. Anybody ever had a personal need before? And needed God to move in it? Now, isn't it amazing that God sometimes will come by and meet the need just like that? And other times you're looking at your watch and you're wondering if it's on the same watch as God's watch. You know what I'm saying? You wonder, God, when are You going to get here? You know, it's like, Lazarus is sick. Lord, come now. But sometimes God loves you so much He comes late because He wants to show you something. Daniel prayed and fasted for understanding. Whew. You ever need to understand something in your walk with God? You can fast and pray for understanding. Hannah fasted and prayed for a child. I admire, there was a young couple that me and my wife knew indirectly. We'd see them at meetings and different things. I think her first name was Charity, last name was Cohort, I believe it was. And they couldn't have a child. And you know what she started doing? Started filling up the nursery with a crib and with toys. The doctor said she couldn't have a child. All I know is she's got one now. Because God's God. Now, that's not twisting God's arm or nothing. No, it's saying, Lord, I have a need and I want it this bad. You know, sometimes we say we want something from God, but we really don't act like it. Come on. God, I really want You to do this for me. And the whole time, you do no praying and fasting about it.
I tie that to the Holy Ghost. I want it. Pray and fast. See, you're telling me the Holy Ghost is going to leave you empty-handed when you're seeking like you should? No. I don't believe that. I believe I've read about men, and I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I believe God meets financial needs if you really have a financial need. I ain't talking about financial wants. God bless you with good things. God's good. But if you have a need, many times, you can testify as well, God's met a need. But I've heard of men years ago, and I hadn't experienced this myself because I've always seemed to have some food on my plate somewhere. But I've read about them old ministers who didn't have the food. And I've read about those who didn't have the milk for their children. And I've read about the A.A. Allen. I read a message years ago, "Are You Really Called to Preach?" was the title of it. When he didn't have no milk for his baby, but he would pray and fast. And all of a sudden the next morning he'd go down there and the milk would be on the front porch. I've read about that. I believe God can meet the need. I believe you can fast and pray and God can make things happen because He's God. Amen. I believe that 100%. Hannah prayed for a child. Ezra fasted for guidance. Paul fasted often for different types of situations. But in a personal application, every important decision of your life, it could be a job, a spouse, a move, a ministry, or any other major decision ought to cause us to take time aside to pray and to fast. If you tell me you're serious about the will of God and you ain't fasted about that spouse and you're dating, don't tell me you're serious. Amen. Because I'm telling you one thing, and I ain't bragging, but I fasted many a meal for that young lady right there. I wish it was just easy. You know that evangelistic date, and go find you one and God clean her up. I searched and I searched till I could search no more. I tried a date and the Holy Ghost say, "No, not that one." But I remember I'm dating her. And I had this overwhelming sense, Lord, is she the right one? I don't know. I want to say I knew. I felt good and prayer about it last month. But now I have this little bit of doubt. Well, I don't want to make the wrong decision. And I'd call up and say, "We got to take a break for about 3 days. Fast and pray. Get out of bed. Go to church on 5:30 in the morning. Pray through. Well, somebody's going to get you. Who's going to be the boogeyman? You're seeking God. God will take care of you. And to be absent in His body, be present with the Lord." You'd be surprised how many people have made a move out of the will of God. And the whole time they're saying, "Pack the bags, honey, I'm going to pray about moving." And they had their bags packed for 2 months. They know they're going there. They don't care if there's a church there. You're going to take it seriously in the will of God. And fasting is a part of that. Amen. I hope this isn't new doctrine to you. This is just what I was taught and raised in. You do it. You say, "Well, I know so-and-so. It worked out good for them." I could show you 20 that didn't. Quit trying to use God's grace to manipulate your own carnality. I've seen people do that. I want to point to the other. "Well, God worked it out for them, and they did what they wanted. That's God's grace they did. But I don't mean you can be carnal right now." Whew. Praise the Lord. Man, the chainsaw's in a bind here. I'm trying to figure out. I'm just kidding. Fasting's important. We need to do so. Take it seriously, every major decision in your life. Do you believe, "Look, when I was coming here, Lord, help me. I don't know if it's the right place to go." When it went to Africa, you know I didn't know if it was the right place to go. I wish I made that up in my mind. But no, I began to fast and pray. And heaven began to witness to my heart that that is what God wanted us to do. Now I'm going to answer. I've got other things we could talk about, but it's getting late. Few problems we're going to deal with, and we're just going to stand up and pray in a few minutes and fast. Hey, bro, I think somebody said today, it's like you to teach on, Brother Eddie said, and we're having a picnic tomorrow. You remember a few weeks ago I taught on gluttony? I said, God don't care if you feast. He told the children of Israel did so. But he said, you don't need to feast every day. It's all right to get together. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Amen. So, if you come to tomorrow, unless you're led, you can still eat cheeseburgers. Derek's going to eat one with you. Amen. Problems and facts about fasting. And these are questions that I have been asked personally. And I've recorded. I need to do this more. Record questions that I'm often asked. Brother Derek, if I go on a fast, how do I come off a fast? It depends on how long. If you fasted one day, you're all right. But don't fast like Brother Powers, 2 weeks and eat a double Whopper. You can hurt yourself. Brother James Reynolds would say when he went on a 40-day fast, he could not go back to normal eating for several weeks. He said you'd have to start off eating soup and broth. He said because your stomach has shrunk in size and you can hurt yourself if you do something silly. This is a very famous question and there's an answer to it. What if I am sick or have a chronic condition? How can I fast then? The best that I can come up with, if God is leading you to fast, that's between you and God. But any individual who wants to have a practice of fasting in their life that's not really Spirit-led, an individual who suffers from a condition, let's say such as diabetes, or who is on a medication, who has to have some form of food, should not consider fasting without knowing that God wants them to fully. Now, I do believe that these folks should not feel guilty in that, but I do believe there's things that they can do. They can do partial fast, and there's other things they can do to heighten their spiritual sensitivity. Now, once again, if the Holy Ghost leads you to do it, don't listen. You do it. But also use the wisdom and know it's God that's leading. Don't hurt yourself. You can do maybe a partial fast. Maybe don't get the steak. Get the salad. Amen. Eat the fruit, not the candy bar. Whatever you do, maybe do a partial fast. Another area of caution is this. I often tell pregnant women, be careful. I know we've got a few here. And I know 40-day fast ain't for you right now. They're eating for two. You're eating for two. So understand that as well. And I don't know why. Let me look over my notes sometimes. I'm like, man, I forgot that was in there. What if I'm working a very strenuous job? I remember one time when I was in the grain industry, there were some times that it was so physically demanding. When I say that, I'm climbing up a ladder 50 times a day and down a ladder. You have to sample each truck and climbing back at the containers. It would physically work you. It really would. And I remember trying to fast sometimes, and it was kind of difficult. I made it through. But you can't. I mean, it's tough to go 5 or 6 days unless God's really sustaining you in that. I read about one preacher that said he went on a fast. One time he was doing sheetrock work, which if you ever hung sheetrock, bless the men that put sheetrock in your house 1,000 times over. That's some hard work. Lifted out sheetrock and hoisting it and all that stuff. This man fasted for several weeks by eating fruit. You can still fast in some sense while working a job. So I do encourage doing that. Don't use your working hard as not for a reason not to fast. You know what I mean? And I would ask you, what do you do on Saturdays? Push the plate aside if you whatever. I was telling, I think, Linford and Shane today. I had a roommate right when I first got saved, me and Josh Haley. He kept saying, we both didn't have a job when we were living together because, long story, we lost our jobs. I got in church. I thought he got in church, but come to find out he was a tear. And long story short, you know, he kept saying, I'm going to take 2 weeks off work and fast and pray. He ain't been working but 2 weeks. So he sought some very noble counsel from a man of God. He said, brother, I'm thinking about taking off. I think it was a week. Forgive me. I think it was 1 week. He said, I'm thinking about taking off 1 week to get close to God. And that preacher said, well, what do you do on Saturdays? He said, I sleep. And I go out and play some basketball. He said, why don't you start on Saturdays and we'll move into the rest later. He said, use some wisdom is what he's saying. Now, if God leads you to take off a week, that's between you and God. But don't just do silly things in the name of God. You can have some wisdom in doing these things. Another thing, is fasting legalism? Should I have to spend time on this? No. Thank God for you. I don't think there's no. I know there's nobody in this room that thinks that way, but you'd be surprised some people that I have met. Now, he don't want us to be hypocritical, but let me move into the very last thing. We're closing right here. As we read the history of the church, it is hard to find men greatly used of God who did not give themselves to prayer and fasting. They gave themselves to prayer and fasting. We understand that Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley, Howell Harris, David Brainerd, Charles Finney, C.H. Spurgeon, Andrew Murray, Rhys Howes, William Seymour, Smith Wigglesworth, P.H. Clendenin, many, many others. I hope you've heard some of those names before. They prayed and they fasted frequently. Paul even said, in fastings often. He did those things frequently because these men were used of God. As we follow such great lives, we find great advances of the kingdom of God. We find revivals, miracles, powerful preaching. These men would all pinpoint specific times of prayer and fasting when God met with them. The history of great revivals can never be separated from prayer and fasting. If you want to know about revivals, Prayer and fasting is the key. A great revival began in America through Jonathan Edwards, First Great Awakening. Anybody ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? Anybody ever heard of the Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? This is interesting. I was reading this one time. The great revival began in America through Jonathan Edwards preaching his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. What most people do not know is that he had preached that sermon several times before without any result. But what was it at the time that he preached it? He read it, with thick glasses, and they said he would hold his head about this close and would just read. Could you imagine me reading to you about 2 hours like this? Man, I can almost do somersaults and some will still doze off on you. I can't do a somersault. But the difference is this. Before the time that there was the Great Awakening, this time his preaching was preceded by 3 days of prayer and fasting during which he barely slept. And when he did that, he got up there and read the same sermon. But with such conviction, men and women grabbed the back of the pews with white knuckle grips because that floor was going to open up and they were about to fall in hell. What was the separation? Prayer and fasting. If you want to be effective for His kingdom, you cannot do it without it. Before the power of God fell in Azusa Street, the small band of believers united 10 days of prayer and fasting. William Seymour had led the 3-year revival, which spread across the world, spent weeks at a time fasting and prayer. This was normal practice for him. I would say to us once again in 2016, what makes us any different? Why do we expect the same results without doing the same things? I believe God can send a revival in 2016 if we get but hunger and thirst, all of us. I know Derek Jones could do more of it. Could anybody else say they need to do more of it? Oh, I'm glad I ain't alone. I was getting nervous that all of you are going to think that. I'm just kidding. Thank God for the church. Thank God for you. But let's pray. Let's fast. Let's seek God together. I know God's doing something in our midst. I really feel that He's uniting us more. I love you all. I appreciate what God's doing for your families. I know we got 2 children about to be born in the church. I'm so happy for Shelly and Mike. God's doing things in our church. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. Folks are being encouraged. God's doing things. The devil's a liar. But I know one thing, we're not there yet. And we can still pray and fast together as a church and be the people we need to be. Amen. Stand to your feet all over the church if you would tonight. We're going to dismiss. I know this is a little different, but sometimes I feel led to teach. Amen. And God's going to help us, I believe. Let's just pray. Let's ask God. Number one, I want us to pray this specifically. Ask God to be more sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We can all pray for a heightened sensitivity. And then let's say, God, help me to practice fasting more. And make a commitment. I encourage you. God doesn't keep you from making commitments to Him. I know it says about vows and being careful and making all. But I promise you, if you make a commitment to the Lord, it's something about that commitment. Say, Lord, I ain't telling you what commitment to make. I'm telling you this. Lord, help us to fast more. God, help us to see a revival. Things like that, I know God will bless. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be sensitive to Your Spirit, Lord Jesus. I thank You, Lord God, for what You've done for the church. We see all throughout Scripture that fasting is there. Telling ourselves no, God, lifting up the new man. God, seeking the face of God prayerfully. God, I thank You, Lord, that it's not a thing that we can take lightly. But God, but You told us, God, that when the bridegroom is absent, that we should fast. And that You have shown us in the time, many times in the Bible, there were results when men and women sought heaven and sought God and fasted and prayed. God, we don't want to do it like the hypocrites do, just to be seen. But we do it, God, because we want revival. We want to grow. We have needs. We need direction. There's some here, God, I know, that needs direction, dear Jesus. God, from the youngest to the oldest, guidance, God, on where to go, who to marry, drawing closer to You for the Holy Ghost. For all these things, Lord, help us to seek God. Help us to use wisdom and guide and lead us, God. Not just to do it because, God, but to do it because we know that You're faithful. Help us, God, to do the will of God in our lives. We know it's important. Help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, we love You and thank You. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Amen.